The subject this morning is abiding in Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 13. In this chapter, a window is open, allowing us to view the last Passover our Lord would observe before carrying out what the Passover had always pictured. From the days of Moses in Exodus 12 until the very night we read about here in John 13. Every time the Passover was observed, it reminded the Jews of their deliverance from slavery by the hand of God. But even greater, it is a foreshadow of what Christ was about to do. And he was about to deliver his people who had been given to him before the foundation of the world from the slavery of their sin. That's the 13th chapter of John, the brief view of that. He was about to become the Passover lamb. In verses 5 through 9, after that he poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, that thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet, modeling for them the way they were to live their lives in humility and service to each other. We use our feet to walk, and he used that symbol that we need to walk a clean life before the Lord. Then Jesus made a statement. In verse 10 and 11, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knows who should betray him, wherefore said he, ye are not all clean. Peter, you know, was outburst, he was the said what he thought so many times. But we need to understand what the Lord is saying here. He that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith. And you're clean when you wash your feet, you wash your body, but not yet all clean. Until the sins are forgiven, until the sins has been covered in the water. No, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So washing your feet or being baptized has no part of salvation. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus then sends Judas away to do what Satan had filled his heart to do. Betray him With Judas gone, Christ began to comfort the remaining 11 and those who truly believed on him. And that's found in John chapter 4. Now we come to our text this morning with what has already transpired, we read. Turn to John 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit is purged, it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Does away with cleaning through baptism. Does away with cleaning through washing your feet or any other type of we can do. Because God said, now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except he abide in the vine. No more can ye except he abide in me. Goes along with the Sunday school lesson. You can't be a soul winner if you're not saved. You can't be a great influence on the world unless you're walking with the Lord. That's exactly what John is saying here. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You cut a branch off of the apple tree and it'll bear no more apples. You cut yourself off from the Lord, you'll bear no more fruit. It's not complicated. It's very simple. But the reason man doesn't like it is because man is totally depraved and man wants you to lift him up and glorify every little thing that you've ever done, but if it wasn't from the grace of God, you wouldn't have done it. And anything you can do without the leadership of the Spirit of God is works that will be burned up. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. He's talking about you can't do nothing that is spiritually lasting. Can a lost man witness to another man? Sure he can. But it'll bear no fruit because of his witnessing, because you really can't express your love for somebody unless you know them. I remember that from down on 2nd Street when the neighbor across the street, me and Brother Jackson, Gene Watson, and Brother Smith was all sitting in the window looking out between Sunday school and church, and somebody said, you know, that woman, she needs us not do this or that or the other. And Brother Jackson dropped his head and said, you feel that way because you don't know her. You know, don't make any difference how bad somebody is. You don't know everything about that person. So before we start making judgment, we need to make sure that we know without, like the man that sits in the seat in front of Mike and Judy told me one Sunday morning after service, I can tell you who's in this building lost. I can just look at him. Can't happen. Can't happen. You know how I know that? The other 11 disciples didn't know that Judas was the one. Judas was with them all the time. But they didn't know. Because salvation is a heart condition. Amen. That's when that heart has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And yes, that fruit will be good. It'll be good. Because he said, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, For without me, you can't do nothing. You can't do anything that has any spiritual endurance. I've heard lost men pray. I've been in the hospital when somebody comes in and I knew him. And the person in the bed said, "Brother so-and-so, would you lead us in prayer?" He didn't lead us in prayer. You can't pray for me if you don't know Christ. You can go through emotion. And you feel good, the man, woman in the bed feels good. But you've got to be in Christ. Not just fancy words, but the Spirit-abiding words. And I don't know those. I just happen to know that gentleman. And I had just seen him a few days prior to that. And, you know, it's not good to judge people. Because what you see is not always what it is. God went on to say here in John 15. He said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you." That's our speech. Amen? When the words of Christ abides in you, it'll change your speech. "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Oh, you mean if you abide in the Spirit of God all the time, you can ask the Lord anything, he'll give to you. That's not what it's saying. See, our Heavenly Father is not like us earthly fathers. You know, I was telling Sister Henrietta, I got to see two of my grandkids yesterday. Paul, the new father, he's done tremendously with Parker. And Caroline is so beautiful that she's going to get away with murder. We seen stage one yesterday. So you can't be good enough. You can't be pretty enough. You can only be washed in the blood. But he said, "If he abide in me and my words abide in you." A saved person talks different than a lost person. He said in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." God said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Can you imagine any time any better than the time when you are in the center of God's will? There is no better time in my life. I seek God's will, but there's times I'm not in the center of his will. But when I am, when it's all about him and nothing else, it's a good day. After this, Jesus then sends Judas away to do what Satan has filled his heart to do, and that was to betray him. Jesus gone, Christ began to comfort the remaining 11 disciples, those who fully believed him. And, of course, that is found in John 14. But now we come to the text this morning, with what has already transpired, we see in John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It abides in the vine. See? We got to abide in him. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. You break the branch off from the tree, it has no more fruit. You get out of God's will, there's no more fruit. Because you've lost your power source. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So whenever we do something in our actions, our thoughts, you know, we use a word that everybody knows, we dedicate our life back to the Lord. Now, some people walk the aisle, some people want to know, but I've rededicated my life several times, just me and the Lord. Because my thought life, you can't hear. And what I really think, you don't know. But God knows. As long as I'm out of his will, I cannot be an instrument in his hand. That's a miserable place for a true child of God. You know, when you and your wife have an argument, and, you know, until that argument is made right, man, marriage is not good. You know, and I've heard all those old stories, you know. I've been married 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. We ain't never have an argument. Those people lie about everything. Sure, you're going to have some arguments, some disagreements. You may not have a dog fight, but you know. That's just going to be, if it's nowhere but in the mind. See, when our mind is out of God's will, we're miserable. You don't have to do it. You're just knowing you should, but yet your body is overriding your mind. And you can't bear fruit. God said in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If ye abide in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. Not just little fruit, but much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They become useless. They become individuals that don't get excited about things that are happening at the church. They don't get excited when they hear about somebody saved. Well, God said in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And as I said 5 minutes ago, it don't mean that you don't get everything you ask for. But God wants to bless you. It's his desire to bless you. Now, you can take it upon yourself and get ahead of God. And nobody around you may not know it, but God does. God does. In verse 8, God said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall he be my disciples. Christ calls himself the true vine because as the vine imparts to his branches sap and productiveness. So Christ infuses into his elect his own divine strength and life. How does he do it? How does she go through? We all know what she's going through. How does she do that? Have you ever said that about somebody? Well, it's not in her own strength. If she's a child of God, she's got the strength of God in her also. It's a spiritual rest, you know. I wish I could do like even my wife does, probably some of you. If you do, I'm glad. I wish I could lay down, say, about 2 o'clock and sleep till about 4, or, you know. But I can't do that. Never have been able to do that. If I go to bed at 7, or if I go to bed at 11, or if I go to bed at 2, I still wake up between 4 and 5. So how do you go on that light amount of sleep? Well, it's not me. It's Christ that works in you. We're all different. Doesn't make me better or worse than those others, but I tell you one thing that we all got in common and we need to understand. God saved you on purpose and for a purpose. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Wasn't that what he said in John 15, 2? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He becomes useless as far as workers in the kingdom. And many people have known that by experience. But he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Does he want to bear more fruit? Wouldn't you like to be a blessing to more people? Would you like to have an opportunity to witness to more people, if not by verbally speaking, but they look at your lifestyle and they know you're different? There's something different about her. This verse requires both a systematic approach and as well as a historic approach in order to rightly divide or interpret. See, first of all, Christ said, every branch in me. Every branch in me. You can be a church member without being in Christ. Not everybody that walks the aisle is saved. Not everybody that's been on the church row for years is saved. But I don't know who they are, so I treat them all the same. And praise God, you just don't know. But if you look at the word of God, he says that I am the vine and my Father is a husband, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, how does he take away? Does he take you on home? Does he cause something that happened to your life so you're no longer useful? I don't know how. I'm not God. But I'm telling you that when God saved me, he saved me on purpose and for a purpose. Is Christ saying that every tree in me that beareth not fruit, he is taken away? Well, what we can know is found in John 6:37. John 6:37, we can know. And John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What John 6:37 is teaching is eternal security of the blood-bought believer. So all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I can be assured. A person asked me that this very week. How can I know if I'm one of his? You'll come to him. If you're one of his, before the last breath leaves your body, you'll come to him. And somebody, whether it's me, you, or somebody we don't know, will take the word to him. And the Holy Spirit will abide with that word, quicken his spirit, make him alive, and he'll see Christ as he's never seen him before. Amen. High and lifted up. Christ will not cast out his elect. Turn with me to John 10. John the 10th chapter. John chapter 10 and verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They do what? They follow me. Now, if they don't follow him, then God's a liar. And if God's a liar, we're all going to hell when we die. Now, you can call it Hartzellism, you can call it Calvinism, you can call it whatever man-made name you want to. But God's word is clear when he makes it very, very clear in the 27th verse, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, you see why it's such... That's a brief four or five little chapters. Why, if you're not saved, or if God saved you today, read John. When you get done, read John. And when you get done, read John. Greatest book for salvation you can find. God says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, who? Those that followed him. Those that heard his voice. And he said, notice here, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because my Father, which giveth them me, is better than all, is greater than all. He is better, but the Bible says greater. He is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There is no man can take away what God has given me. Amen. I have eternal life. It doesn't change because half the country don't believe it. The word of God doesn't change because educated morons get on there and say the Bible is, you know. You know, you have somebody like Oprah Winfrey that get on Facebook and says, there are many ways to glory. And you know that woman has helped so many people. You know God would save her. He hadn't so far, according to her testimony. Because there's only one way to glory. And if you think there's more than one way, you better get on the right way. God said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. One. True Christians have been given eternal life. without end. That's what eternal is, without end. And no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand. We know from Christ's own words that they cannot. We know that because he tells us, you know, back there in verse 6, says, go on and on and on of all the places that in this Gospel of John that no one, once God saves you, you know what he does? He keeps you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 as we prepare to close here in a few moments. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 17. God said, even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. Now, since it's a visual aid, I believe you can tell whether a person is truly saved by the fruit they bear. I mean, unless I'm misreading verse 17. He said, even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I love that verse because we used to have a member that would quote this to me. I don't know where she quoted it from, but she quoted it. She said, there's a little bit of good in all of us, a little bit of bad in all of us. And we decide whether we want to be good or bad. Now, that sounds good. I mean, it'd be a good democratic slogan. But it won't fit the Bible narrative. Without Christ, there's none good. Christ said it's none good. And believe me, when I was first saved, I heard that tremendously every time from Brother Al Gormley, who's in glory now. He'd always come up and stick his hand out. You know, I'd look, how you doing, Brother Tony? Oh, I'm pretty good. He said, you lie on both cases. You're not pretty and you're not good. That's more or less a private joke between me and them. But, I mean, you know, exactly right. There's no good in me. You take Christ out of me and there's nothing left. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. You know. By their fruit. I use that verse when I'm counseling a rough marriage, you know, where there's abuse. I said, man, how you treat her shows whether you love her or not. How you treat him shows whether you love him or not. I mean, it's not hard. It's not complicated. Things that are simple, people look over. It's got to be something more than just believing. Oh, there was, but he took care of that on the cross. Then they took him down and they put him in the grave and he stayed there 3 days and three nights. But see, the society can't even get that right because they have him crucified on Friday and brought up on Sunday. That's not 3 days, it's not three nights. And they said, what's the difference? Well, he said, unless he repents, he shall all likewise perish. What makes the difference? I tell you, the difference is between life and death. Is it all right if somebody tells a partial lie on you? Anytime you misquote Scripture, it's a partial lie on the one who wrote this Scripture. As we close, John the 15th chapter and the 6th verse, 16th verse, excuse me. You that are saved, you ought to rejoice in this verse. John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The elect of Christ, saved by his grace alone, at their appointed time, will follow him and will bring forth fruit. So then, who are the branches in him that do not bear fruit? Taking a systematic approach, you see that those branches that do not produce fruit are lost folks. Now, I don't know how much you pray, but I know that some of you pray a lot. And I can feel, you can call it what you want to, I can feel when this church is praying for me. And when I ask you to pray for that prayer box, and I ask other pastors, Brother Vance, you know, I love you and respect you. You've been in the ministry a long time. How can I encourage you? Pray for that. We got a prayer box. I look at it all the time I'm preaching. Just say, God, that prayer box over at Ammon Road Baptist Church. I don't know the names in it. I don't know what the requests are, but Lord, if it be your will, bless them. Yeah, everyone can do that. If you're saved, you can do that. You may not remember, you know. But I'm not asking you to remember 15, 20 names. I'm just asking you to remember the prayer box. See, I think that the things bother a child of the King when they don't, you know.